Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Finally.
And Phoenix, the bird. I don't know if you guys heard him.
Oh, can but
he
you
gave
hear
a little chirpy chirp, right?
Yeah.
Before you started. Yeah.
He's in the laundry room. I moved him. So
yeah.
He's just being loud.
Saying hello.
He's been loud since we got back because like he was in his cage for a week because we had somebody here, but they were afraid to take him out. So he's just like, hey, let me out.
Oh, somebody like me. Yeah. Happy Monday, guys. We're back.
Yeah.
From all the things. Christy was in New Zealand.
I was
in Maryland, which was way less cool, but still fun.
Still fun.
So we have lots of adventures that we'll tell you about. We're gonna do that over on our chit chat on the Patreon, which comes out the first Friday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanna check out what we did while we were gone, we are off. No crime, no recording, no researching, nothing for a few weeks. And it was amazing. So,
oh my gosh, I feel like my brain can't even like fathom starting up again, actually.
I know. Yeah. Well, we are here.
Yes, we are. We are here.
So thank you guys for bearing with us. And yeah, I think that's, I don't have anything going on. What about you?
I don't have anything either. And this one's a little bit long and kind of a doozy. So maybe we should just get into it.
Let's get into it.
All right, then here we go. Okay, Beth, I got a crazy one for you today.
That's not surprising. They always are.
It was actually suggested to us by one of our listeners' husbands.
Okay.
And he is actually also a family member of the victims, or one of the victims in this story.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool.
So he asked us to take a look into it and also agreed to interview with us.
No way, Jose.
Yes. So after we discuss this, like what I've found out, and because I don't know, I haven't really set a date with him. And so I don't want to like wait until we do that before we record the story, because I want to put the story out there anyway. So if he chooses not to, then fine. But so we'll tell our story and then hopefully at the end of this, we'll get an interview attached. So.
Okay, so stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Michael, this is the story of Michael, and oh my gosh, what's her name? I can't remember his wife's name. Susan, Michael and Susan Nobley.
Okay.
Sorry. Michael Nobley was born February 6th, 1983 in San Diego, California. He has two siblings, Thomas and Daniel, who still live out in California, but as he got older, he didn't really have much contact with them and just, you know, lost kind of touch with them.
Okay.
Michael went to Christo Rey San Diego High School, where he excelled academically and athletically. He was a star athlete in three different sports, football, basketball, and baseball.
Three? Kind of, wow.
Yeah. Amazing. And
overachieving.
Right. This is like the, what is it? The star of like the after school movies. Like,
right.
So he was also voted most likely to succeed, which we've talked about these like superlatives. That we don't even know if they happen anymore. But he continued his education at the University of Georgia and graduated with a master's in international business.
Okay.
And this is where he met Susan Sigman.
Okay.
Susan was born in Athens, Georgia on March 23rd, 1983. He or she was an only child and excelled in academics. She graduated from Clark Central High School and received a full ride to several universities. She decided she wanted to stay close to home as she still had family in Athens and at the Atlanta area. So she went to the University of Georgia.
Okay.
And graduated.
Is that the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought. I don't know. Georgia State
I'm pretty
and
sure.
University of Georgia, I get mixed up. Somebody's going to tell
I
us,
do
don't
too,
worry.
But I think
people
it is
write in about that stuff. Give us the correct names.
Exactly. So she also graduated with a master's in international business with a focus in Spanish. She was fluent in Spanish.
Okay.
Susan and Michael met during their junior year. Both were immediately hired by an international consulting firm in Atlanta. They moved in together right after graduation, and Michael would propose a year later while on a trip out west to visit his hometown.
Okay.
They were married a year after that on June 17, 2007. After a few more years, Susan stopped working full-time and became a part-time yoga instructor.
Wow. Okay. That's
an extreme.
Using that international business degree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like I'm using my teaching degree, right? So.
Well, but you're not teaching yoga.
No, I'm not.
I guess doing a true crime podcast is also strange.
Also, yes. So, hey, you know, if you got somebody who makes the money, then you don't have to work. Do something you like, right?
That's right. Every day is play day.
Yeah. Michael also opened his own consulting firm in Atlanta, and within a couple of years, he had offices in Naples, Florida as well. He specialized in Central and South American merger and acquisitions transactions.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what that means.
Okay. I wouldn't be able to Google it because I probably can't even spell that, all of that.
They eventually would have homes in both areas and spend time in both areas almost equally. But
yeah. So Florida, Naples, and Georgia.
Georgia, yes.
Okay.
Michael and Susan don't go on to have any children, and they don't have a desire to. I mean,
okay,
not uncommon with like these power couples kind of people, I guess.
Yeah.
They become members of country clubs in both Atlanta and Naples, and that is where they spend most of their time.
Okay.
It's pretty expensive because I know country clubs are pretty expensive.
Yeah, they are.
It's what stops me every time when Emery talks about it. I'm like, hell no. Why? Why would we do that? I will not go. They were very active in their country clubs, serving on committees at both. They went out most days of the week with their extensive group of friends. They were doing well, very well for themselves and have no problem showing that off.
Okay. Wow. I can see them very clearly.
Can you?
In my head, I feel like.
Yeah. Is it like in a Date Light episode?
Oh, no. Well.
Not. There is no Date Light episode on this one. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Shockingly. They used a few wealth advisors at their country clubs and would often brag about some of their risky foreign investments.
Oh.
I mean, they do have that international degree or business degree, so.
Yeah, and she speaks Spanish fluently.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were known to party and have a good time. It would eventually get to be excessive, and some would say they had a problem with it. There were also some rumors in some of the friend circles that they used cocaine on occasion. So, but those are just rumors.
See, that's what I would picture, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, a little party every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan spent most of her time in Naples. She taught yoga a couple times a week, and she spent a lot of time on their boat or at the country club. She had friends in both areas, but most of her friends were in Naples.
Okay.
Over the years, Susan became addicted to plastic surgery and would also like to show off how good she looked. So she would skinny dip in the pool during those parties that they had.
Okay, Susan.
Yeah.
You know what? Listen. Every bird has their own feathers. You know what I'm saying?
Is that an actual saying? Is that another Bethism?
I don't know. I'm sure I've heard it somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sure when she did do this, it was after some significant alcohol use or maybe even cocaine. Because, I mean, or maybe she didn't need any of that stuff to just drop all the clothes and jump in the pool. I don't know. Anyway, Michael's day-to-day looked a bit different than Susan's. He was very driven, business-oriented person. He spent half of his time traveling internationally to South and Central America, and then the other half he split between Naples and Atlanta.
Okay.
Did not have many close friends. Most of the people he hung around with were like the husbands of the ladies that Susan spent her time with.
Okay, so it was kind of like her party all the time.
Yeah. And he was probably just there. So he loved to drive expensive cars and had quite an extensive watch collection. You know what I picture when I picture that? Like a big walk-in closet with like a center like island in it and like drawers of
man. Something right out of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Needless to say, these two were quite the power couple, and they just seemed like straight out of like a crazy mafia family. I mean, they're not, but like that's what it feels like to me. In April of 2021, the two had spent some time in Santiago, Chile. And on May 3rd, 2021, their cleaning lady entered their home in Naples and initially saw a couple of red stains on the floor and just proceeded to, like, mop it up.
Because
likely this was not unusual for her, like, to come in after a party and find a mess.
Oh, okay.
You know, wine on the floor, whatever. After a while, she went to empty the trash cans, and as soon as she opened it, she smelled bleach and a bunch of paper towels with a reddish color on them were in there.
Hmm. You know what's interesting is they always think it's wine. It's like, you know, like, it's never a mannequin. It's always a body. It's never wine. It's always blood.
I know. Well,
same rule with them.
If you walked into my house and saw some red substance on the floor, I think you'd probably assume it was wine as well.
No, you would never leave it there. 100%.
I would lick it up.
That one. Not what I was saying. You would clean it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. All right. Fair. Fair assumption. It's never wine, guys. It's always blood.
Yes.
Okay. Or just assume it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So when she found the bleach and the paper towels in the garbage can, she kind of got freaked out. And so she started to walk through the home further. And she noticed some furniture knocked over in the family room and a red smear on one of the white couches. When she entered the bedroom, the drawers were opened and dumped on the floor. A painting had been taken off the wall, and the safe that was behind it was opened.
Interesting.
Why is this so cliche? Painting the safe behind it.
Uh-huh.
There was also a gun safe in the closet, and it was also open, and all the guns were gone. I have no idea how many they had, but all of them were gone.
Okay.
She immediately calls police at this point.
Oh, so they're not there. There's no one there.
No, there's no one there. And I was waiting,
and then she goes into the master bathroom, and there she finds.
No, which that's not unusual because he's always working and she's always at the country club. So she's just there to clean up after them. So anyway, Naples police responds to the call and immediately treat it as a crime scene. They initially thought that this could have been a robbery and abduction since Michael and Susan were nowhere to be found. The cleaning lady had tried to call them, but their phones went straight to voicemail, which was strange.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. Police called Michael's office, but he had not been seen in over a week, and he had not been in contact with anyone either in either office.
Hmm.
They contacted the office. My next statement was that they contacted the office in Atlanta, but I already explained that they contacted both. So anyway, and they called family, and they had not heard from them in a little bit either. The ones that they were in contact with. No one had heard from them or seen them. They took note of all the things the cleaning lady had noticed and took a few items into evidence. The police noticed that there were no medications in the bathroom or any toothbrushes, deodorants, you know, all the everyday items that you would normally find there. They found a package in a trash can that was from a burner phone, which how many people have burner phones? Although this couple, I would assume.
I was going to say, sometimes shady people.
Yeah, that's true.
All have burner phones.
Yeah. They did dust that for fingerprints, but they didn't find any. There was cocaine and paraphernalia in the bedroom. And upon further testing, they found it to be 98% pure, which seems to be a pretty rare occurrence these days.
Colombian cocaine.
Oh, ooh, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because they do have business dealings.
Yeah.
Lots of things typically, we've had this discussion of getting laced with other chemicals. So for it to be that pure, it has to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. In the safe, they found multiple passports for Michael and Susan. And they had also found a small notepad that had several strings of numbers on them, kind of like account numbers for like banks.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't have anything like describing that on there. It's just like strings of them. The cleaning lady noticed a few items missing from the home and she gave descriptions of them. Things like jewelry, watches, computers, stuff like that. Michael's 2020 Mercedes SL convertible was also missing.
Okay.
Naples police loop in the Collier County Sheriff's Office. We've had Collier County cases before.
Oh, that's in Georgia, right?
Yeah, that's the Georgia
one. Okay.
Since they had residency technically in both places, FBI was also involved because of the fake passports that they found in the safe and the string of possible international bank numbers that they found.
Like offshore accounts is what they're thinking. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And neighbors heard nothing? We talked to the neighbors and they, interesting.
I mean, I'm just assuming where they live, it's like probably a little bit of a distance between neighbors, but maybe there was nothing heard.
Okay.
The red substance on the white couch would be tested and would be determined to be Susan's blood.
Oh.
When they checked with the security system, it was determined that it had not been functional for about 2 weeks prior to this. Isn't that always the case?
Yes.
Crying out loud. Someone shuts it off or it's not functional randomly during the exact time they need it to be.
Be like Target.
Be like Target. Neighbors, you already asked this and I'm answering it again. Neighbors did not notice anything unusual over the last few weeks, except that when Michael would come home, he would pull into the garage and immediately shut the door behind him. Like, it was like as if he was pulling in and shutting it as he was still pulling it.
Okay. And that wasn't normal.
Yeah, I guess not. They would kind of leave it. I mean, they had parties all the time. So their house was kind of like open.
Okay.
To people. They took a look into the numbers that they found on that pad of paper and realized that they were not typical bank account numbers for domestic banks or foreign. So they were kind of confused by that. They went to a local pawn shop, and with the help of photographs and the cleaning lady, they identified a few items at one of them. So they went to multiple pawn shops. Sorry.
Not just one. Oh my gosh. Okay. What is happening?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you. I don't know what happened. This is unsolved.
Really?
Which is why it's exciting that we might have an interview, which I'm really hoping actually happens. Okay, so they took a look at CCTV footage at the pawn shop that they found some of their items at, and they were able to identify the man who brought those items in. His name was Stephen Gross, who also lived in North Naples. They brought Stephen in for questioning, and he said that he had come across a box on Highway 41. It's just like driving by, finds a box. He stops, finds the guns and jewelry inside. He needed some money at the time as he was into drugs and his home was going into foreclosure. So he just decided to take these items to the pawn shop and sell them. So they give Stephen a polygraph test, which he passes. And they also determine that he was not a likely suspect as they could not really link them to the Nobleys at all. And so it seemed like it was literally a legitimate thing that
just
he found.
Just a random thing.
Yeah. All this stuff.
Wow. Okay. Weird.
Yeah. Investigators investigated, because that's what they do, Michael and Susan's finances, and it was discovered that they were $7 million in debt.
What?
Yeah. So not
Where's
doing
all
his,
their money?
I don't know. They had several life insurance policies, one of which was for $20 million in a foreign trust organized in the Republic of, I can't even say it, Seychelles. I should have looked that up before. Okay. Seychelles.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
It's a country known for money laundering and their cartel connections. So that's where one of their life insurance policies was written in.
What?
Right? Right. Shady crap. The beneficiary has never been named publicly, though. So we don't know if, like, who was supposed to get that money.
Right, because they don't have any kids or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't talk to his brothers, and she doesn't have any siblings.
Huh.
So. Many of Michael's clients were found out to be foreign shell companies.
Okay. So they're hiding money.
Yeah,
so they're not money. Really in debt, probably.
Probably not.
They just – it's just funneled.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. Yeah. Police had a warrant for all their phone records, and they discovered that there were a lot of calls to a woman named Alicia Markers, who also lived in Naples, made from Michael's phone.
Okay.
There were many phone calls to her for about 3 weeks, and then those stopped about a week before the couple goes missing. Alicia is an attorney who specializes in Latin American investment partnerships.
Okay.
So initially, I'm sure it's probably thought like,
She's a business associate.
Police checked credit card statements, and the only unusual activity were multiple charges for the Ritz-Carlton on Vanderbilt Beach in Naples.
Okay.
Security footage from the hotel showed Michael and Alicia in the lobby on the same dates as many of the phone calls between them.
All right. Well, could be a meeting.
At the Ritz-Carlton?
I don't know. I don't know what rich people do, and I don't know where they have their meetings. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. After interviewing a few friends and acquaintances, several of them seemed to believe the two were having an affair.
Oh, well, there you go.
Some even believed Michael had plans to divorce Susan to be with Alicia, but those are all speculation.
Hmm. Okay.
After police initially interviewed Alicia, she retained legal counsel immediately.
Oh. Well,
she's a lawyer. She knows that she should do that right away.
Right, yes.
She would later be charged with criminal activity under the RICO Act and pled no contest and is now serving time in a minimal security prison. So that's a whole separate podcast.
Oh, unrelated to all of this.
Yes, I think so. I mean, some of it could have been related to Michael's dealings, but I don't know. I didn't look into it. I just know that she was arrested later
on.
Yeah. She was given a reduced sentence if she agreed to give information about the foreign activity of Michael and Susan.
Okay.
None of which has been made public. So she does agree to this, but we don't know what their business deal is.
Florida. It's like the one case they're holding out on us.
I know, right? Because it's, yeah, exactly. But anyways, clearly they're holding it because they don't know what happened to them. So it's like some things they have to hold closer to the.
It's still an open case, guys.
Yes, yeah. A few weeks later, the Mercedes, Michael's Mercedes, was located. It was partially submerged in the Everglades along the Tamiami Trail. I can always have trouble saying that. about 15 miles west of downtown Naples.
What?
It's kind of like a swampy area. Do you know that area?
I know the Everglades.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was minor damage to the car. Both bodies were found in the car.
What?
But Michael's head was missing.
Okay.
Like, seriously? So clearly they can, I mean, their IDs were also found in the car. So that's how they're able to identify them. But I mean, obviously they can identify Susan. Her head's there. But Michael's head was not. We think maybe it's a possibility that it was alligator.
Oh, no. I was thinking that.
Yeah, because of the way I think it was. Or we don't know. Maybe someone took it as a trophy or was it alligator food? We don't know. Either way. Anyway. Weeks go by. They have no new information and all of their leads end up being dead ends. Police end up determining that the house being in disarray and the submerged Mercedes was staged in some way. I don't know why. Well, clearly.
Make it look like they drove in there or had a wreck or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
They believe the account numbers they found in it were like in a code that only Michael and Susan could understand and decipher. So okay. They were account numbers, but like written in a different way. The missing items from the bathroom and such looked as if they had quickly packed up a few things and left, as if escaping from someone. And when they did, they had an accident and drove off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just closed the case. So it was like, they just nailed it accidentally. But it's not really close because this doesn't seem like it was solved at all. Like, it feels like that was the easy route to take. Like, they had a lot of bad, shady dealings. And so they were probably trying to, like, get out of town real quick.
Not in the house.
Yeah. So somebody tried to clean it up and did a really crappy job.
But yeah.
I don't know. It's really crazy. I don't even know what to think. I think somebody did something to them, but because of that reason, that's basically the one reason. Because if there was no blood and no bleach and paper towels in the garbage can, I would see like, okay, they did. They tried to flee for some reason or another, got into an accident, and then his head was eaten by alligators. But
oh my gosh,
I don't believe that.
Awful.
Happened with blood and cleaning stuff in the garbage can.
Oh, but then also this, too, is the safes. Okay, so one of the safes was hidden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So unless they walked around and took all the pictures off to find
that
safe.
And figured out the code.
Oh, but not just one, too.
Right.
Like somebody opened those.
Right.
But they could have forced them to open them, too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like.
That's what I'm thinking.
At gunpoint and like, you better open the safe for me. But why steal all the stuff and leave it by the side of the road?
I don't know.
What's that about?
I don't know. Like, just another plant to be like, but why would Michael and Susan just left it? You know, if it was them that fleeing.
True.
Why would they have just left it? Or it like, couldn't have fallen out of the car.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's the thing. That's why it's so shady and so weird and like that they closed the case, but then there's really no answers to a lot of these questions, which is why I'm really hoping that we can get in touch with.
Okay. And who's the family member?
It's Michael's brother, Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
Right now.
Well, I plan to. I plan to, but I can't guarantee that he'll actually like talk to us. So
absolutely. Oh my gosh. Anyway. This is crazy.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, they obviously were involved in, okay, so if you're involved in dangerous things, mm-hmm. which money laundering and drugs and having an affair mm-hmm. are all dangerous things all by themselves, and they mm-hmm. were involved in all of them. Mm-hmm. So obviously they were around dangerous people. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they're dangerous too.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. They left high and drunk.
Yeah.
In a hurry because they were scared. Maybe they did get an accident.
Yeah. Maybe they hurt themselves or cut themselves in their like haste. And that's why there's blood, tried to clean it up real quick and mm-hmm. did a crappy job. I don't know.
Still doesn't explain the stuff by the road though.
No. Yeah. Because why would they throw that out? Mm-hmm. Unless they were trying to pretend they were abducted.
Oh.
Unless they were staging their abduction. Somebody else, it could be either someone was staging them running away or they were staging their abduction.
Yeah, well, if you're staging your own abduction, pro tip, don't take your toothbrush.
Yeah, that seems like, what do you need that for? Yeah. Buy a new one.
So weird.
Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about this case. What I don't know.
This is very well maybe the craziest one we've ever done.
I agree.
So, I don't know. All right. Well, I guess we'll try and give Daniel a call here in a second.
Okay. Well,
stay tuned. You'll either hear an interview after this or you'll hear us say the world is crazy.
The world it is. It's so scary. Get in the closet.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Let's give it a try. Let's give him a call. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. All right, guys, you're in luck. We actually got a hold of Daniel, and we have him here with us.
Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. We are perplexed and yes. worried and upset about your brother and his wife.
This is it's been a few years of it's been difficult, but it's also been a few years of unanswered questions and confusion. And that's kind of why I offered to talk with you guys. I actually been listening to you for a couple of years and I enjoy what you do.
Thank you.
I like you better than 48 hours in those shows, you know, where they cram, you know, it takes an hour to get 5 minutes worth of material. You guys are into it. You do it right. And
that's kind of why. Thank you.
If we can talk, we can talk. Probably the easiest way to start would be I'm sure you found the detail on the crimes and well, supposed crimes or whatever they are. And do you have any direct questions or anything that you can think of?
Well, I think, first of all, we're very sorry for mm-hmm. your loss and that you have had so many years of unanswered questions. I think my biggest is, what do you think happened? Like, who did this to them? Why? What's your global opinion of the whole thing, being so close to it? And
well, I would initially, if I were an outsider looking in, and I'll cover a little bit of this in more detail in a minute, but some of Michael's dealings would indicate that maybe they had to run, or mm-hmm. that they tried to run and didn't make it. I didn't buy for a minute that it was a robbery. And that's pretty much what the Naples police originally came up with, is, oh, it's a robbery, you know, can't find them, but it's a robbery. But don't buy that. And I don't think you should either. I'm anxious to hear when we're done here. I'm anxious to hear your commentary before you interview me. But kind of wish I'd have heard that ahead. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm just going to go through and toss some things at you that you might not know. Actually, Michael and I are identical twins.
Oh.
Wow.
No. Yes. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Why did you guys stop talking?
I know this is a family show, so I'm going to be very careful.
Okay.
Michael is one of the nicest people in the world, but I didn't really trust Michael. And okay. some things occurred in the family that would cause me to distance myself from him.
That's fair.
And I just felt it was best to not be part of his life. But, and again, I'll cover that a little more. It's probably not quite the way you think, but yeah, we avoided each other for multiple reasons. I'll tell you, when I got interviewed by the Naples police, it was interesting because Michael colored his hair. And I'm not talking like he's gray and going brown. I'm talking like he was brown and did his hair blonde.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Sort of Florida man, you know.
Yeah. The rich and famous kind of thing. And I'm not going to make fun of him, but anyway, he was blonde. And I come in and talk to the police. And they're looking at me like, you look like him. I'm like, okay, he's my twin brother, okay?
Right.
They had no clue. And it didn't really do much anything. But I did give my thoughts on his relationship with the cartel. And again, they were like, well, what do we do? That's when the FBI and stuff got involved, was in the cartel. And then they found some numbers and stuff that made them think that there was some international issue going on. But as you know, Mike specialized in Central and South America companies. He was kind of that liaison between the U.S. and those countries. He spent, I swear, he must have spent 2/3 of his time or something in the South and flying high. One of the things that became very apparent was the life insurance. So he had taken out a life insurance policy on himself. And it was in one of those, there are several countries around that you can set up trust and they're not traceable. They're not identifiable. So they knew that he had like a $20 million life insurance policy on himself that was payable to a trust, which was owned by another trust.
Okay.
The thing that never made it, which we later, that I found out, there were three other life insurance policies. Yeah.
Oh.
Totaled $35 million. So there's
on 50, him or both
on
of them?
Him, on okay. him.
Whoa.
$55 million worth of life insurance policies. Which just makes the...
$55 million?
Yes.
Insane.
No, I know it's crazy, but here's the other deal. I don't believe for a minute that Michael didn't put money aside in his transactions. I mean, what he was doing in other countries, I'm sure there was more money there, but
well, that's what Beth said actually in our, when our initial like conversation about it, she was like, they had to have been, cause it said they were in debt $7 million, but then they have this life insurance policy. She's like, they must've been like funneling money in different places and like hiding it away.
You would assume such.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine why. If you met Michael, you wouldn't think that. He's to the public, nicest man in the world. Family, not so much. But, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. Those foreign trusts were, and it took a while to figure it all out. But anyway, those foreign trusts were set up where the life insurance went into the trust, owned by a trust. And then it went into bank accounts, and the FBI and all those people could never figure out where it went, because apparently people that do that transfer that money quickly. It goes to one numbered account to another numbered account. And before you know it, they can't track it anymore. So there's money out there somewhere. Somebody right now has $55 million in life insurance proceeds.
Well, it's not us.
Unless, do you think that they were doing that to flee and disappear themselves and have $55 million to collect for themselves?
Well, you'd think, but they're deceased. And so then where do they go?
That
who has it
work,
now?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that was one of the things that came up because, again, at that point, they only knew about the $20 million policy. And the question was, okay, did they fake their death, you know, because they were in debt. I don't remember how much debt they had, but officially, like when they sold their estate and cleaned it all out, they were in the hole. They didn't have enough money to pay their debts. So there was speculation that they might have self-insured themselves to collect money, to get out of debt, so to speak, and start a new life. Who knows? It's hard to say. There was one, at one time, family members and friends assumed that Alicia, his secret girlfriend, I don't know if you don't, do you know about Alicia?
The attorney.
This was the attorney. Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was speculation that her and Michael had put this together somehow, some way to, you know, sail off into the sunset and all that, you know, happy storybook stuff that you hear about. But she ended up in prison. Now, it was a Martha Stewart kind of prison, but she ended up in prison for some of her dealings. And it's interesting. Any of this help you or kind of steer you?
Do you know if she was in jail for anything to do with Michael specifically, or was it all other businesses that she?
Michael was not her only client that dealt in that world. So she fell under what's called the RICO Act, and the RICO Act is basically, you don't have to commit a specific crime necessarily, but if you're associated with the people that commit the crime, you're just as guilty kind of thing. And but, you know, she was probably eating Eggs Benedict in her prison cell, but she did okay, I think. Susan was a character. Susan, the yoga instructor.
The very smart and educated yoga instructor as well, and beautiful
apparently. Yeah, Susan had some problems, though.
Yeah.
She always had a runny nose. You know why she had a runny nose?
Well, we saw that there was a rumor that she did cocaine, but we didn't know if it was corroborated.
Well, yes, she was. She liked to... where most women powder their face with makeup, she powdered her face with Peruvian mount marching powder. So she liked the cocaine.
Wow.
So, but Susan had a, she had a yoga studio. I don't know if you're familiar with Naples, Florida, but Naples, Florida, like the kind of the really nice restaurant store area is Fifth Avenue. She had a yoga studio on the second floor right at, on Fifth Street at Highway 41. I mean, right, prime real estate. But let's put it this way. Susan took the idea of hot yoga to a level that is a little different than what you customarily think of hot yoga.
Okay.
So Michael didn't trust her. And he had cameras put in her yoga studio.
Interesting.
Because he thought something was going on. And you know what? Susan was, okay, we got to use polite words here. Susan was having sexual relations with some of her yoga students. And it didn't matter what sex it was male, female, basically anybody with spandex on a yoga mat.
No, wow.
It wasn't everybody, but she had her things. And if I can use a bit coarse language, she's a beautiful woman, but she was a whore, and that's really sad, but that's what she was.
Right.
Wow. And I could use a softer word if you want, but that's kind of really what it came down to.
Well, no, I mean, be honest. But that, I would imagine, I don't know. If she's doing that, then I could see, because there was also speculation that Michael was in a relationship with Alicia, the attorney.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, like, if that was just kind of like, well, they were like living separate lives.
Just different lives.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hang on one second here. Yeah. My pilot here is trying to tell me we have to leave, but just bear with me. I gotta go fairly soon here.
Okay. Okay.
So here's where it gets really twisted. I was living in California and we were separated, but honestly, I was actually living in Naples during the last couple of years of their life.
Oh.
And twin brother Daniel was living in Naples, and I wish I could see the look on your face right now, because that's not what the police reports were saying and stuff.
Well, I was going to say, did Michael know you were in Naples?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But still you were two had a rift, or were you in communication during those last years?
Well, we were in communication, but not really the way that you might think. So here's where it gets dicey.
Oh no.
And, I'm twin brother Daniel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, twin brother Daniel was banging his twin brother's wife, Susan.
Oh, wait.
You were?
I'm glad to let you catch up here for a second.
Did she know you were twin brother?
Yeah, I mean, we look the same, except for the
hair color. Yeah, he had a different hair color. So she knew, okay. Because, sometimes twins try to swap, and they don't let the other person know that they swapped. So I was just making sure.
What was that movie we raised our kids on where the two girls, swapped places?
Parent Trap.
Yeah. No, this was not.
It wasn't a parent trap situation.
No,
it was,
no,
wow.
No,
okay.
No.
Wow. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your candor, I think.
I'm sorry. Well, like I said, the story's out there, and I don't think the story's not correct. So that's kind of where it's going. Does that throw you off your little trail of?
Well, it definitely adds another layer to it, but I mean, I don't necessarily. I still don't think it changes the storyline, unless you're the one that murdered them.
Off the topic. Sometimes I've told my friends about your podcast, and I refer to you as the Nancy Drew girls.
It's kind of funny.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I know that's old school, but you remind me of that. I read those books when I was a kid, stuff, and the Hardy Boys, which I'm probably older than you, but anyway. So now you're trying to figure out what's going on. So here's the question you got to ask yourself. Who was the headless male in the Mercedes?
Okay, I was going to...
Oh my gosh!
What are you telling us?
What am I telling you? I'm asking you, are you talking to Michael or are you talking to Daniel right now?
Well, I don't know how we would know.
Do you have $55 million, sir?
What color is your hair? But you could dye it.
My hair's brown. But that's because I got rid of the blonde. And, yeah.
Daniel!
I'm not Daniel, I'm Michael.
Oh my gosh.
Shot. What?
Yeah. This is almost...
Why are you coming out on our podcast to do this?
Well, I thought about doing it in a confessional booth, and I was afraid, before I get out of I'd be arrested. But anyway, so yeah, this is my catharsis. This is my release. This is my confessing to my sins to you guys. And, since then I've had plastic surgery. I don't look the same.
Hmm.
I got multiple passports. SIM cards for my burner phone, like the number I'm calling you from, it's not traceable. Because your first thought should be to cut the phone call right now and call
the police.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Just at least wait till we hang up. We'll have a cordial goodbye before we go. But yeah, I've got $55 million worth of life insurance policy, plus the money I took from the cartel over the years. And I'm almost in tears right now because I do regret what I've done. I genuinely do. And, but my wife was a horrible human being. And my brother was a horrible human being for doing it. Probably not worthy of getting his head chewed off by an alligator, but you know what? It's what happened. And, we're getting really close to when I have to leave.
Are you flying out of the country right now?
I'm not in the United States.
Well, I guess that's obvious. Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh.
I know it's hard to hear right now, but that's my ride.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Well.
So I don't know how to end this on a proper note, but thanks for listening. You're a unique couple, and I needed a place to tell the truth, and I'll find you again. And maybe I have some more stuff to tell you, but that's for another day.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing what you have shared. Jeez. Wow.
I got to go. See
okay.
you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Well.
So we have one more thing we need to tell you guys.
Yeah, because we are really curious what you think about this, but... April Fools!
It's all made up, guys.
Entirely made up case.
Joke's on you. This is one of Christy's friends in St. Louis who has helped us put this together, and he wrote this entire story and case, and that's him that you heard on the mic, and we're joking.
Yep.
None of it was true. Now you have to go back and listen from the very beginning. Yeah. And know that the whole time we were just foolsing.
Yeah. That was also, Joe, you can come off of mute if you want to. Because he had to go. He had to fly.
There's no Michael. There's no Daniel, the brother. There's no crime.
And he totally threw us for a loop by that ending.
We had no clue that he was going to pretend to confess. We thought we were truly just going to pretend to interview the brother and get his thoughts. And he has shocked the Nancy Drew girls. Well done, Beth, sir.
I was watching your face, and I think I got you.
You got me. Wait a minute. He's telling us that he staged this whole thing and is living large with $55 million.
Yep.
Too good. Too good to be true. Are you guys mad at us? Are you listeners mad at us?
Yeah, let us know. Meryl, thank you so much for doing this. Yes. This is actually, 2 years in the making? Because we talked about it last year and it didn't happen. And then this year it happened. And
it was too perfect that April Fools happened to fall on a Monday, which is our drop day. So the stars aligned and you did great.
It's my pleasure, and royalty checks, you can send it to my trust in that same country that was in the...
How do you say that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That took a bit of Google, because there's a lot of countries you can do that, but I look for the most bizarre one just to... Actually, so you'd struggle to pronounce it. I don't know.
Listen, we mispronounce words all the time, so that actually fit right in.
Well, that's what I thought. It adds credibility if you can't pronounce it. I mean, it's sounds good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can't wait to hear what everybody thinks about this, and we certainly appreciate you. I feel like we should have you on for something legit, just because, so we can shock you, maybe.
Commentary.
Yeah.
You mean that I can just make random stuff up on?
No, you sit in on an actual case, and then we can hear your opinions and commentary on it.
We can do it. We'll do that someday. Anyway.
All right.
All right. We can.
I think I'm flying off to Bogota, and then I don't know.
No, don't give your location.
FBI is listening now.
Anyway,
for real.
My pleasure. I also want to hear the comments, so we'll get back together soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for bearing with us. Happy April Fool's Day. We hope this is the worst thing that happens to you today. Nobody else jokes with you. He fooled us. Okay, we were shocked. We did not anticipate that twist that he was going to throw in. And it was really difficult to know how to react because we knew it was all a joke. But yeah,
I was trying not to laugh so many times.
He's confessing to murder
yeah.
right now. And I'm on the horn calling police. That's why I'm quiet. You know, like, what do we do?
Clearly, if anybody ever tries to do that, I will have no idea what to do, because I was like, what do I even say right now?
Keep recording. That's for sure. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, we got to keep recording. I mean, it was all fake and we knew it, but like, we hope you guys were shocked too. Can't imagine what these comments are going to look like. Don't be mad at us. We love you. Love you. Love you so much. We just had to do it. Sorry.
Yes.
Anyway, so again, thank you. We love you. We'll see you next Monday. We won't do this again, we promise. But we appreciate you all very much. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. We suck today a little bit. Hide in your closets.